And we will be in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. There's been a little debate in my mind of whether this sermon should be this Sunday or next Sunday. Has to do with the election or the results of the election. So there was a thought that maybe next Sunday would be better, but you know, I guess I believe that there's a lot of concern about the election and the outcome. And whatever that may be, and I think in a lot of important races in our lives, at least important to us, that there's a lot of doubt yet of how things will turn out, how things will go. In the presidential race, a lot of people are disappointed that, and I'm not going to stay here very long talking about the people, but there's a lot of disappointment on the candidates and who we have to choose from. And there's a lot of questions. And I'm not going to go any further into that. You know what I mean. And here in Montana, I am more concerned even. You know, the United States is pretty important. But I see things, I think, pretty clearly, and I see two different sides, and I see the sometimes lies and deception, and I see the mudslinging and everything, and I scratch my head, and I know who, for the most part, I know who I like, and I know why I like them. And you know that feeling you get? When, I mean, it happens in a lot of different ways. When your sports team loses the championship, oh man, sometimes if you're a real fanatic, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. I remember elections being the same way. I'm not going to toss around names, but sometimes, how can people do that is what I think inside of me. How can they, and I know and I understand, but it's gut-wrenching sometimes, and I'm afraid that late Tuesday night, I may not stay up for that, but Wednesday morning I might have some of that gut-wrenching feeling again. Hopefully not, but I believe that there's some clear choices and much better choices than others, and it may hurt the inner psyche when things don't go the way that I know that they should, huh? You know what I mean. So, in light of that, I'm going to Philippians chapter 4. And a thought occurred to me how to label this type of passage of Scripture. Why not? It's comfort food. Spiritual. We're to eat spiritual food. Comes from the Word of God. This is food. And, you know, I don't know what your idea of comfort food is. I tried to think of that. When I was a kid, my favorite meal, that's kind of what I think of comfort food, because there's nothing good about it that they'll let me eat any. Well, I do eat, but they don't want me to eat, was mashed potatoes, fried chicken, and gravy that was, gravy. And rolls, homemade bread, rolls. You can throw some green beans in there too, but that's a little on the side. But that to me is comfort food. It was as a kid, and I think I could probably still handle it pretty well. But this is comfort food too. It's a different type. It's spiritual, and it's psychological in many ways as well. But it touches our most inner being, and it gives us guidance in dealing, I would say, within our upcoming election on Tuesday. Let's take a minute and be comforted. Can you let yourself do that? Just be comforted. Life and times of the first century church. This is a letter written by Paul to the Philippian church. And the life and times of these people in that first century church, I do not think that the social, political, economic, spiritual condition in the first century was any better than it is today. Now, I said a mouthful then. I don't think that the conditions that existed with the people in this church, as Paul wrote to these people, that the conditions were any better there than they are here today, in our day, in our time. In fact, I think it could be argued, and I'm not a historian. History is a very important thing, and I get interested in history, but I don't dig a lot in history. Some of you are more historians, and you love that stuff. But I think if you go back in history to this period of time, you'll find out for the early Christians it was a pretty, and what we have in Scripture indicates that, it was a pretty hard time. It was a pretty difficult time. The political situation was not good, as well as many other aspects as well. And we face that today. Our economy, our social, our cultural setting in which we live, all of these things we're facing are troublesome to us. They were just as troublesome to these people, I believe, that are being written to here in this first century church. They are no better off, and maybe, and probably, worse off. Now, let's talk about solutions, though. As Paul closes this letter, you know, we've dealt with the problems, and we could talk about all the problems that our nation and this election is posing before us till the cows come home, when we could still keep talking about it. And there's problems, no question about that. We want to talk about solutions. We're aware of the problems, so let's concentrate on the solutions. Let's see what is said here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Do you know that there's nothing more important for you right now as you face whatever it is in your life and will continue to face in your life? The best answer that you have is to stand firm in the Lord. It's a solid foundation on which to stand. First and foremost for the believer is this principle. It is a military term, or it was used often in the military, for a soldier standing his ground, standing firm, and as the enemy approached, not giving, but standing and standing firm. Standing our ground as the enemy combats us, as he attacks us, as he does whatever it is that he does. Has nothing to do with the state of the nation. It only has to do with God and who he is. That's our foundation. That's what we stand upon. It isn't anything to do with democracy or republic or whatever it is. It has to do with God. And to understand that it is God who is the solid foundation, and that we are to stand firm in him. It is complete trust in him. How much can we trust God? How far can we trust him? How far will you trust him in your life? You know, there's so many different aspects. There's so many different things. What is it that God needs you to trust him for? everything. This is a biggie. Yeah, I understand that. But the answer is God. It's nothing else. And that we are to stand firm in Him. And then he talks about some of the other things that are important. And I'm going to work through this really quickly, I hope. There's unity. Verse 2 and 3, Iodea and Syntyche. Evidently, these two ladies were having some problems. And Paul's encouraging them to fix things up. And for others within the church to help them get things fixed back up. It's a necessity for a church to be functioning the way it should be, that there is a large degree of unity that we need to pull together. Fellow believers, not the world. He makes that point here that those whose names are written in the book of life, these are believers, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. We need to pull together. We need to work together on what is important in the scope of things. Verse 5, we are to be reasonable. Now, I don't exactly know what that means, but I was trying to... This version says, let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. One of the translations used the term reasonable. And I was trying to figure out exactly what that meant. And I wasn't exactly sure when I came to the conclusion, but I think it's pretty simple, or it's pretty close to don't lose it. You know, understand that no matter what's happening out here, that God is in here. And God has a purpose and a plan. And God is in control, and He is the foundation. I think probably I said it at some point here in the last 4 or 5 years. I may have to move to another country. You know, and you're hearing people today, if such and such, and it goes both ways, if Hillary wins or if Trump wins, I'm leaving. I'm moving to another country. Yeah, I'm giving up. It's not going to be worth living here anymore. That's probably, I've come to, in my own mind, to the conclusion that's maybe a little hasty. I'm not sure where else I would go. Is one of the problems. You know, and I live in beautiful downtown Musselshell. Well, where else could you live that's any better than that? Well, maybe. Someplace. But also, verse 4, to rejoice. I think I missed that one. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. You know, thank God for what we do have. And tried to kind of make that thought during our prayer time. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, I was thinking on the way to the hospital yesterday, Lord, you took Dan through the valley of the shadow of death already. You know, the doctors really gave him no hope of coming through that cancer. And they're still not sure why he's still okay now. I mean, even though he got through it, that it would come back and bite him sooner or later. And I don't know what's going to happen. Only God knows that. But I was thinking, you know, why would you take him through that and then something happened here and that my concern was the hearing brain bleed and how serious that can get really fast. And, you know, are you going to, you know, and Dan was thankful. You know, God has given him this time to share with us, to share with his wife, to share with his family. To go fishing, even though the elk are in the way. You know, The times he spends with his, especially Doug, fishing and stuff are pretty important to him, but hunting with some of you and all those things. But rejoice. Be reasonable. And then verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. I would rather change that translation, even though this is my favorite. And some of your translations may say this, because this is what it means. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't get anxious over everything. Oh, you know, how often does that happen? I've run across people through the years that actually believe it helps to worry. It helps change things. I don't think so. It might change you. It might be hard on you. Not might be. They say it is hard on you. It's not good for you physically, probably not emotionally and mentally as well. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. You understand what worry is, don't you? As a believer, you should understand this. To worry is a lack of trust in God. That's as simply as I can put it. If we trust God, and I mean really trust Him, we shouldn't worry. You know, I understand. Sometimes we think God needs a little help, right? God might be looking the other way or something. I don't know what we think, but we worry when we know full well that if we stand firm in Him, stand firm in the Lord, that we really don't have anything to worry about. God is going to take care of things. Sure, there might be a little pain along the way. Sure, we might leave this earth and this body behind. Those things happen. But the reality is, God is still in control. Worry is a lack of trust in God, His wisdom, His sovereignty, and His power. God is able, He knows, and He is the one who is ultimately in charge, and He has the power to do what's necessary to accomplish what He has designed. There's nothing that He can't handle. You know, is it possible that God can't handle something? One of the old questions when I was in college, you know, the skeptic, the agnostic, the atheist would pose to a Christian, if God can do anything, can He make a rock so big that He can't lift it? Well, that's stupid. I hope that doesn't trouble you, asking that question. And there's no answer to that, only God can do anything within the scope and realm of possibility. And it goes deeper than that. But that's just a way to avoid the reality and the truth of God. And worry is taken away from who God is. It's a lack of trust. And so, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. But here's the opposite of worry, so to speak. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's just asking God, making a request, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that we've already thrown in there anyway, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, pray. Simple statement that has been around for a long time. Let God know how you feel. Doesn't mean that you're not anxious about something, because you are, but prayer brings you back to Him. And prayer reminds you that He is in control, and He is the firm foundation on which to stand. And prayer enhances then that relationship with Him, helps you to understand Him more as you grow in your relationship to Him through prayer. And through going through those hard times, those questionable times, when you want to worry, when you want to be anxious and to let anxiety rule in your life. You know, I don't think that little quip of worry that comes and then you address it and deal with it in faith, I don't know that that's so wrong. I think that's just as life hits you. Sometimes there's maybe a little doubt. But maybe it is, because if you're trusting God in everything, even when those things hit, immediately our first thought should be to trust God, our faith in Him, and be thankful. Understand the bright side of things. What is God doing in your life? What has He promised? How much worse could it be? I don't know how many times I've had people tell me that. You know, I'm going maybe through some hard times, but God's going through them with me, taking me through them. But I look around, and it doesn't take long till I find somebody that's a lot worse shape than I am. A lot of you have experienced that in some dramatic ways in your life. And what will the result be? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I tried to convey in Bible study, there's just some things that we can't understand. I was talking about the Trinity, and I was getting all preachy-feely, whatever, I don't know. But there's just some things that I'm trying to make the point, there's just some things that you can't understand. Well, this is one of the things it says right here. The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. You can't comprehend the peace of God, the peace that He can give you in your life. Some people have not been able to comprehend you in your life when you went through something, but your faith in God has held firm and your countenance has given a picture of that. People can't comprehend how you could go through something like that and still smile, but still trust God. But that's life, and that's what God wants from you. That's what He wants from all of us. As we don't worry and fret, but instead we pray and we trust Him, as we allow Him to do His thing and to believe that He can do it, the peace of God will take over and it will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. It's God in you. It's God working with you. But it's you trusting. It's you believing. It's you having faith. The rest of it's God. He does the heavy lifting. He does the work. You just say, God, I'm going to let You do it. I'm going to stop being anxious. I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to let You do it. It will result in the peace of God. It is the unbelievable peace of God that is far beyond our human understanding, and that the peace will guard your heart and your mind. The one who has faith in Jesus, who stands firm in the Lord and trusts in Him above everything else, can and will have faith, will have peace. So Wednesday morning, when something doesn't happen the way you want it to, go back here. Go back here. And be reminded that your responsibility is to stand firm in the Lord, in the power of His might. and let the peace of God rule your heart and your mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we just pray that this would comfort us. Each one of us has different things that we worry about from time to time, or we get anxious about, and some of the things that are happening in this world that most of us get pretty anxious about. And there may be some of those things happen this week. But Father, help us to stand firm in you. Help us to know where everything comes from, where it all is going, and that you are in control. And we can trust you. Father, may that be imprinted on our very most inner being and always be our first thought. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.